Blog Talk Radio.
Let's just go right into the introduction. And let's...
Okay. Well, welcome to the podcast. Oh.
Go ahead. Do it. Go ahead.
Okay. Welcome to Hodge to Hodge podcast. I'm saying thank you for tuning in. This is the Messenger Edition. This is Nurse Carmen. We have co-producers, two brothers, Ken and Ron Hodge. And next we'll have a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and I do apologize, Nurse Carmen. I was just trying something new with our intro. We'll work on that a little later, just a little curveball.
That's okay.
Hey, good morning out there. Good afternoon, good evening,
good,
wherever you may
good
be.
Evening.
We want to welcome you all to this edition. A question was asked to me today, and it was, how can I solve some of the health problems I face? I have been the victim of enough chronic problems to last three lifetimes. Why am I having them all now in this lifetime? And I have to say this, as I've said to Nurse Carmen so many times, we have to get one thing straight. We love them. Most of them, anyway. We use them admirably to feel sorry for ourselves and to get attention to ourselves. On very few occasions when you haven't loved them, it's only because they've gone too far, further than you thought they would when you created them. Now let's understand what you probably already know. An illness is self-created. Even conventional medical doctors are now seeing how people are making themselves sick. Most people do so quite unconsciously. So when they get sick, they don't know what hit them. It feels as though something has befallen them rather than they did something to themselves. Now, this occurs because most people move through life not simply issues and consequences unconsciously. For example, people smoke and wonder why they get cancer. People ingest animals and fats and wonder why they get blocked arteries. People stay angry all their lives and wonder why they get heart attacks. People compete with other people mercifully and under incredible stress and wonder why they have strokes. Worry themselves to death. Worry is about the worst form of mental activity there is, I do apologize.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Worry is about the worst form of mental activity there is, next to hate, which is deeply self-destructive. Worry is pointless. It is wasted mental energy. It also creates biochemical reactions which harm the body, producing everything from indigestion to coronary and a multiple of things in between. Health will improve almost at once when worrying ends. Worry is the activity of a mind which does not understand its connection to God. Hatred is the most severe damaging mental condition. It poisons the body, and it affects all virtual irreversibles. fear is the opposite of everything you are. And so has an effect of opposition to your mental and physical health. Fear is worry magnified. Worry, hate, fear, together with their offshots of anxiety, bitterness, impatience, unkindness, judgmentalness, and condemnation all attack the body at the cellular level. It is possible to have a healthy body. It is impossible to have a healthy body under these conditions. Similarly, although to a somewhat lesser degree, conceit, self-indulgence, and greed leads to physical illness, a lack of well-being. An illness is created first in the mind. And now, something that we've spoke about on numerous occasions, nothing occurs in your life, nothing which is first thought. Thoughts are like magnets drawing effects to you. The thoughts may not always be obvious and thus clearly. I'm just going to ask someone. I hear a lot of stuff going on in the background. If we could just take care of that. Nothing occurs in your life, nothing which is not a first thought. Thoughts are like magnets drawing effects to you. The thoughts may not always be obvious and thus clearly thoughts may be and usually is far more subtle than that. Like, I am not worthy to live. My life is always a mess. I'm a loser. God is going to punish me. I'm sick and tired of my life. Thoughts are very subtle, yet extremely powerful form of energy. Words are less subtle, more dense. Actions are the most dense of all. Actions, energy, and emotion. Well, what is going on with us tonight? When you think, say, and act out a negative concept such as I am loser, you place tremendous create energy into motion. Small wonder when we come down with a cold. That's the least of it. It is very difficult to reverse the effects of negative thinking once you have taken physical form. Not impossible, but very difficult. It takes an act of extreme faith. It requires an extraordinary belief in the forces of the universe. Whether you call that God, Goddessness, the unmoved mover, prime force, first cause, or whatever. Healers have such faith. It is a faith that crosses over into absolute knowing. They know that you are meant to be whole, complete, and perfect in this moment now. This knowing is also a thought, and a very powerful one. It has the power to move mountains, to say nothing of molecules in our bodies. This is why healers can heal often, even at a distance. Though thoughts know no distance. Thoughts travel around the world, the universe, faster than you can say the word. But the word and my servant, say the word and my servant shall be healed. And it was so. In that same self hour, even before his sentence was finished, such was the faith of the centurion. Yet, we all are mental lepers. Our mind is eating away with negative thoughts. Some of these are thrust upon us. Many of these you actually make up, conjure up yourselves, and then harbor, entertain for hours, days, weeks, months, and even years. And you wonder why you are sick. You can solve some of their health problems, as we put it, by solving the problems in your thinking. Yes, you can heal some of the conditions you have already acquired, given yourself, as well as prevent major new problems from developing. And you can do this all by changing your thinking. Also, I hate to suggest this because it sounds so mundane, coming as if it was from God, but for God's sake, take care of yourself. You have taken rotten care of your bodies, paying it little attention at all until you suspect something's going wrong with it. You do virtually nothing in the way of preventive maintenance. You take better care of your car than you do your body. And that's not saying much. Not only do you fail to prevent breakdowns or regular checkups once a year physically in use of the therapy and medicines you've been given, so why do you go to the doctor, get your help, and then not use the remedies that she suggests? Can you answer me that one? You also mistreat your bodies terribly between the visits from the doctors. You do not exercise, so it grows flabby, and worse yet, weak from non-use. You do not nourish it properly, therefore weaken it further. Then you fill it with toxins and poisons and the most absurd substance posing as food. And still it runs for you this marvelous energy. Still it clings along, bravely pushing on in the face of this onslaught. It's horrible. The conditions under which we ask our bodies to survive are horrible, but you will do little or nothing about them. You will hear this, nod your head in regretment, agreement, and go right back to the mistreatment and do. And do you know why? Do you go back to it?
No, I don't know why.
Because we have no will to live. I know that seems kind of harsh, and it might not be harsh, nor is it meant as an indictment. Harsh is a relative term, a judgment with which we have laid on the words. Indictment connotates guilt, and guilt connotates wrongdoing. There is no wrongdoing involved here, hence no guilt and no indictment. God has made a simple statement of truth. Like all statements of truth, it has the quality of waking you up. Some people don't like to be awakened. Most do not. Most would rather sleep. The world is in the condition that it's in because the world is full of sleepwalkers. With regards to what I said earlier, which about it seems untrue, you have no will to live, at least you have had not until now. If you tell me you had an instant conversion, I will reassess my analogy of what you will now do. I acknowledge that my predictions is based on past experience. It was also meant to wake you up. Sometimes when a person is really deeply asleep, you have to shake them a little. I have seen in the past that we have had little will to live. Now, a lot of you may disagree with that, but in this case, our action speaks louder than our words. If you ever lit a cigarette in your life, much less smoked a pack a day for 20 years, as we have or some have, you have very little will to live. You don't care about what you do to your body. So I just wanted to use that as an example to show us that how we are damaging our body, and we're trying to figure out what's going on, and we're looking for God to do this and to do that, when we have to understand that it is a God that is within us that is already doing what it's supposed to do. We're just not listening. We're not taking a heed to what it is. So it's important for us, if we want to be different, if we want to make that change, that we've got to start doing these things that is going to make a difference. We all know the definition of insanity, and we all know it, but how many of us here today can say that we aren't preaching, we aren't doing the exact definition of different things that are going on in our lives? How many of us are doing the exact same thing that we did this time last year? So this is one of the things that hopefully that we can do with this meeting that we have, this conversation that we have here on Thursday and Sunday nights, is to awaken from our sleepwalking so that we can be more attentive to what it is that the soul is trying to tell us. And it's important that we make a change. As Michael Jackson said, we've got to look at the man in the mirror. We've got to make that change. It's vitally important for us to even be able to continue the message. There's to be, our light has got to shine. If our light
brother messenger,
does not shine, yes, sir.
Your audio is breaking up really bad.
Better.
Okay, go ahead. Let me hear it.
Is that better for you?
Yeah, it just breaks up as you start to speak.
Do we have a better? Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, if you wanna step in there for 1 second, but I think it's my internet connection. The wheel the other day. We've got about 13 minutes. If you want to continue on, I'm just going to reboot here and see if I can come back on afresh.
Well, if you don't mind, then we'll just go ahead and end our show for tonight. Or I don't know.
We'll do that, and I'll find out what's going on with this computer, okay? Because I don't want to bring out a bad show. I got a good message that I want us to be able to understand. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. So we'll be back Thursday night.
Thursday night. Okay.
All right. Good deal. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.